Yeah, life is crazy, ain't it? Ain't it all the portrait frame nor the picture painted? A canvas stained with human strain contained in something dangerous. Facing hatred that's...
Thank you for listening to one of the audio messages from Cornerstone Church Airdrie. My name is Brad, and I have the privilege of serving as the lead campus pastor and primary preaching voice at Cornerstone Church Airdrie. So if it's me you're hearing speak today, or if it's someone else, our desire is still the same. We pray that you are so encouraged, that you are built up, challenged, and inspired. Through these messages, our hope for you is that you would grow in knowing God, knowing His hope, knowing His purpose, and knowing His power. We believe that the God who spoke all through Scripture is still speaking to us today, and we pray that as you listen to this message, the heart of God would be speaking to you. Enjoy the message. Today we're going to be in Colossians chapter 3. If you've got your Bibles, you can turn to Colossians chapter 3. Today we're going to be talking about a really big word that has lots of connotations. When I do premarital counseling with couples and we're talking about marriage, one of the things that I'll say to them is, and I can say to this to you right now, picture a dog. And in your mind, if you picture a dog, probably almost all of us are picturing something different. They're all dogs, but some are big dogs, some are little dogs, some are Dalmatians, and some are little terriers. And so we're all picturing the same thing, and yet we're all picturing something different. And so the topic that we're going to talk about today is kind of like that. I'm going to say to you, today we're going to talk about relationships. And as I say that to you, your context is all kinds of different things. We're all picturing different things. You talk about husbands and wife, boyfriend and girlfriend, our kids. What are we going to talk about this morning? But we're going to talk about relationships and how we can live our best life inside of our relationships. Our world is made up of relationships. Relationships tell the story of our lives. If you're an introvert or an extrovert, if you're social or antisocial, our lives are made up of relationships. Now, there's relationships that are easy to define. If you're married, it's easy to know that person. It's easy to identify that relationship, that you can say, I have a relationship with my husband. I have a relationship with my wife. You have your family, you have your friend circle, your neighbors, your coworkers, people on social media, people in your church family, that you can identify, I have a relationship with this person, and it looks like that. But then there's relationships that are a little bit harder to define. They're a little bit harder to see. And sometimes they're a little bit harder to recognize and to see them in the context of that. You form a relationship when you're buying groceries at the store with a clerk. It's not a long-term relationship. But while you're there, you are entering into a relationship with this person, even if it's just for a couple moments while they're scanning your items. You form a relationship with the other drivers on the road when you're driving, that you have this mutually agreed upon purpose, that we're all trying to get where we're going, theoretically, as safely as we can. That we're all gonna drive this direction on this side of the road. That we're all gonna stay within our lanes. That we're all gonna do that. There's a relationship that begins to develop with the other drivers on the road, whether we realize that it's there or not. You form a relationship with every person you passively or actively engage with every single day. You have all of these kinds of relationships. You have the deep, long-lasting relationships, and you have these incredibly temporal and incredibly, almost, if you don't think about it, insignificant relationships in your life that can come and go in the blink of an eye, and you'll never think about them again, and you'll never see them again. And today, I want to talk to you about how to handle relationships. And the amazing thing about this, the amazing thing about these different kinds of relationships and how to handle them, is it doesn't matter the kind of relationship we're talking about. If you talk about your closest relationships, your spouse, your kids, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your kids, your best friends, or if you're talking about the grocery store person at the grocery store, if you're talking about the other drivers on the road, whatever the relationship that you're talking about, it doesn't matter which relationship we're talking about. When we're talking about how to handle our relationships, What's true for one is true for all of them that we're going to talk about this morning. As we talk about this, if you take what I'm talking about and apply it to your marriage, you'll have a better marriage. And if you take what I'm talking about and apply it to the grocery store clerk, you will be the best customer they've had all day. That it doesn't matter the context of the relationship, the way that we handle them, if we do it right, it is the same. The amazing thing about what Paul has to say about handle relationships is that they're not specific to a kind of relationship. Now, to bring sort of an understanding of what we're talking about here, we're going to just look at one verse outside of Colossians, then we'll be back there. But Paul will write this for us to understand how our lives need to be lived inside of our relationship with other people. He will write this: if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. To the best of your ability, live in peace with all people. Who is everyone? Everyone, there you go. Who does that disqualify? What if they're a jerk? What if they cut you off on the road? What if they tailgate you? What if they're bringing 17 items into the express lane? And they want to pay with change. What if they vote differently than you? There you go. What if there's somebody who worships differently than you? What about your wife? What about your husband? Your kids? Who isn't all? Nobody is not all. When it says live at peace with everyone, nobody's left out of that. There's not a little tiny asterisk or those little things at the top there that allow you to like look down at the bottom of the page to see all the clauses that actually that exist. Paul says, if as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And so what we need to understand is what kind of loophole does the first half of that verse give us? If it's possible, as far as it depends on you. Well, okay, so how far can we take that? Well, I tried. They were a jerk to me. So I was a jerk. That what does it mean as far as it depends on you? If it's on us and not who they are and not what they do, then how do we do that? How do we live at peace with everybody? How do we have our lives in a place where we can live at peace with everybody? Even hard people. What do we have to do? What do we need to be for us to live like that? Well, in Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17, Paul lays out for us what our... I don't know if that's the right verses. But Paul lays out for us what our lives need to look like for us to really be able to live this out. Paul begins in verse 12 by saying, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved... This is you. This is your identity in Christ. You are God's chosen people. He chose you. He wants you. He doesn't settle for you. He wants you on his team. The Bible will say that you are God's masterpiece. You are God's chosen people. You are exactly who he wants. And it says you are made holy through Christ. You are not your sin, your shame, or your guilt. You are made holy and righteous through Jesus Christ. And you are dearly loved. Scripture will say that you are God's prized possession. You are his treasure. And he loves you so much more than you can ever know. So as believers in Christ, this is our starting point. that we can know and we can understand this to be true about you and about me, about our lives. Now that we know who we are, now that we know that this is who we are, how then do we live at peace with everyone no matter who they are? And Paul begins to unpack this with the rest of the verse. He'll say, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Wear what looks good on you. There are things in your life that you wear that look good on you. And there are things in your life that hopefully you don't wear too often that don't look so good on you. Wear what looks good on you. Every Sunday morning, I pick out what I think I'm going to wear that day. And I get dressed. And then I need to find out if that is what I'm going to wear that day. I need to go see Yvonne. And I walk out and I say, can I wear this? Is this okay together? No? All right, I'll go back and try again. And then it sometimes takes about 3 tries until finally I have something that is approved and I can go preach the word of God. Paul is saying there's things that you need to put on. Clothe yourself. Wear these things because they look good on you. This is your outfit. Wear these things. Put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Live with compassion. It looks good on you. Be compassionate to people. That means don't be competitive with other people's sufferings. Sometimes when somebody's going through something, we can have this weird tendency to try and put their issues in context for them. That somebody will tell you about their day, and we have this weird instinctual thing to go, oh yeah? Let me tell you about my day. You think you've got it bad? Let me tell you about how bad I have it. You think that's bad? Let me tell you what I'm going through. But Paul's saying here, just listen to them. It's not a contest. Hear them, listen to them, care for them, love them. Just who they are, just where they are. Maybe you do have it worse than them. Maybe you just think you do. But be compassionate. When people are in our lives, make them feel heard. Make them feel loved. Make them feel cared for. Be compassionate with one another. Live with kindness. It's something else that looks really good on you. The kindest thing that you can ever do is simply seeing someone. It's really all about showing people that they matter. Showing them that their life has meaning and that their pain has value. Even if your pockets are empty, you can give them the gift of respect and acknowledge shared humanity. Be kind to one another. Don't start out with making them earn it. Start out with saying, you are a child of God. You were created in the image of God. I don't know you, but I know that to be true about you. And so I'm going to treat you with the kindness that that comes along with. Live with humility. It looks good on you. Our life is given by God and redeemed by God. We must choose to actively surrender our life to God and trust the plan that He has in mind for us. And when we live our life surrendered to God, our life grows in humility naturally. Because when we surrender, we're acknowledging that our trust is in who God says that He is and that His plan for us is better than our own plan. That we choose to live in humility is to choose to say to God, God, it's all yours. The humility is not going around telling people you suck, that you have no talent, that you have nothing to offer, that you're no good and that you're bad. That's not humility. Humility is saying, God, this is all yours. I put you ahead of me. I will give you what you have for me, and I will be happy with that. Live with gentleness. It looks good on you. Strive to encourage people with your life. Guard against speaking in harsh ways that hurt people. Pray for discernment about how to speak the truth in love. Oftentimes, we get so hung up on speaking the truth in love. We need to make sure that our speech is seasoned with gentleness. It's seasoned with love. Because it's love that's going to change people. And so we need to make sure that we speak truth in love. Embrace God's deep love for you. And remember, God loves every person that he's made just like you. And since all people are made in God's image, we should respect their dignity by interacting with them in a way that reflects that. Live with patience. It looks good on you. Patience means accepting that you are not in control of everything. It's most especially other people. Patience means you're free from the burden of fear or worry about the future. Patience means that you can live in the moment and you can live for today. Patience means you can be hopeful even in uncertainty. Patience means you can embrace the adventure that life is. Patience means that you love mystery and live fully. You don't know you're not there yet, and that's okay. To live in patience is to trust God in our lives and to not somehow say, God, if I can't see it now, it's not real. But I'm going to be patient for the fullness of time for God, with God in my life. These are the things to put on. This is what looks good on you. Wear what looks good on you. Don't put on the wrong stuff. The wrong stuff is racism, prejudice, cruelty, hatred, greed, lust, envy. These things do not look good on you. These things cannot build a right relationship. But put on the right stuff. Put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And your relationships will flourish. Can you see how living this way could affect your marriage? Can you see how living this way can affect your relationship with the grocery store clerk? That when we come into contact with them, we recognize they're a child of God, and that we might have to be patient. We recognize that we are coming into them into a gentle relationship, where we need to live with humility and we need to be compassionate to everything that's happening to them and around them. If we can choose to wear what looks good on us, our relationships will flourish. Then he highlights the next thing we need. And Paul says, okay, guys, let's be real here for a minute. Let's all the cards out on the table. Let's put our cards up. Let's talk here real for a minute. Even if you live out the things that are going on, or live out these things, there are going to be moments, there's going to be people in your life that you're going to have an issue with. Let's be real. Even if you do all of these things, some people are just hard to love. Some situations are just hard to keep wearing what looks good. So he says, when you face those situations, here's what you need to do. Bear with each other in love and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Forgive because you have been forgiven. We don't forgive because we feel like it, although sometimes we do. We don't forgive because it makes us feel good, although sometimes it does. We don't forgive because it's fun. We don't forgive because we feel the emotional response of forgiveness to someone. I forgive because I've been forgiven. It's not if I want to. It's not if I feel like someone else has earned it. I need to forgive because I've been forgiven. And then he has this very interesting clause in the verse there. And it's important that we see this because I think this is sometimes where we can get hung up in the idea of forgiveness. He says an interesting clause. He says, if you have a grievance, in the verse it will say, if any of you has a grievance against someone, what is a grievance? A grievance is when somebody has violated you in such a way that you are justified, that you have the right to protest against them. What does that mean? It means even if you're right, even if you are 100% correct, they're terrible. Forgive them. What are we supposed to do? Jesus said, freely you have received, freely you should give. Remember last week I said to you, the kingdom of God is all about giving. And it is a terrible thing to rob someone of the freedom and joy of experience forgiveness after you and I, after we have experienced forgiveness. For us to stand and say, I know that my sin, the wages of my sin was death, the wages of my life is a destiny of hell, but I know I've been forgiven. Last week we talked about how our debt was nailed to the cross. I know all of that to be true, but you, sir, you have gone too far. Woe be to us if we refuse to forgive. I know how it feels to let my sins be pardoned, to let my sins be washed away. I know what it means to have my debt cleared. So how dare I rob someone else of being forgiven for the grievance they've put on me? I was wrong. And yet, God still forgave me. It's so important that we understand the weight and the gravity of forgiveness, because forgiveness is going to determine, your ability to forgive is going to determine the story of your life. If you hold unforgiveness in your life, if you hold on to offense in your life until you see justice, until your vengeance is satisfied, until you see the wrongs made right in your life through retribution, I will tell you today, if you hold on to unforgiveness until those things happen, it will ruin your life. It will destroy your family, and it will rob you of the life you are meant to live. If you stubbornly refuse to hold on to unforgiveness, to hold on to the things that have been done in your life that are wrong, if you stubbornly refuse to forgive, it's going to take its toll on you more than you will ever realize. But we, as God's chosen people, dearly loved by Him, we need to let forgiveness flow and trust in God. We make a decision that we are going to forgive. We make a decision that I'm not going to let somebody rob me of my vitality, rob me of my strength. I have received forgiveness, and I will give forgiveness. You cannot have right relationships with offense. You cannot move forward in a relationship with unforgiveness. The only way to move forward in any relationship is to recognize, I've been forgiven, so I choose to forgive. I might not feel like it. I might not even want to. But I understand the gravity of this situation. For the sake of this relationship, for the sake of my marriage, for the sake of my kids, for the sake of my future, for the sake of me getting home safe on the highway and not getting involved in a road rage incident, I'm going to forgive. I'm not going to chase him down because he cut me off. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to forgive. I'm just going to let it go. And then we have our last verse for today. And over all these virtues, over compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, over forgiveness, Paul says, put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. Make sure to wear your love. And in fact, he says that it's love that's going to make all of these other things work together. That it's love that's going to take all of these bits and pieces and all of these things that we're choosing to put on, and it's love that's going to make it all work together. If you try and do these other things, but they're not motivated by love, you've missed it. If your compassion isn't motivated by love, if your forgiveness doesn't come out of love, if your humility isn't born out of love, it's not right and it's not going to work. I can choose to try and be compassionate to you, but it's not the same as if I'm compassionate to you because I love you. That I'm not just trying to be compassionate, but I love you, and the overflow of the love in my life towards you is my compassion. Do not do it out of obligation. Do not do it out of fear. Do not do it because it's what you're supposed to do. That's not it. Under all of it, you need, it needs to be born out of love. Love is our highest aim. Love is our highest goal. Love is our motivation. Love is what we are called to do. Love is what we are called to be. Paul says to us, wear what looks good on you. Pick out your best outfit. Put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, grace, and love. It's the outfit of the day. It's approved. You don't have to go back and get changed. This is what you can wear today. And it's what you can wear tomorrow. Put it on every single day. Cast off greed. Cast off lust. Cast off who you used to be. And put on what looks best on you. And then make sure that you forgive. Forgive other people. Offenses are going to come. And you're going to have every right to hold on to that grievance. You're going to be justified. You're going to be correct. Objectively, you are going to look at the situation and you're going to be able to say, I am right. Scripture says, still forgive that. For the sake of your call, for the sake of your future, do not hold on to it. Forgive. Jesus will say, forgive so that your Father in heaven may forgive you. When Paul is giving instruction on how to take communion, he will say, if any of you has an offense against somebody, before you do this, go make it right. And then come back and take the Lord's Supper. That forgiveness matters inside the context of our relationship with God. If we hold on to unforgiveness in our heart, it takes its toll. And in the midst of all of this, don't do it because God... Or don't do it because Paul told you to. Don't do it because it sounds good or right. Don't live like this because it's what you've been convinced of. In fact, maybe I didn't misspeak. Don't do it because God told you to do it. Do it because the love of God in your life has motivated you to do it. Don't do it because you've been instructed to. Do it because it's who you are. Because the love of God in your life is just falling out of you. And you can't help but be compassionate. You can't help but live with humility. You can't help but be gentle. You can't help but forgive because God has forgiven me of so much. How can I not forgive you? Your relationships in your life will determine how you feel about your life and your story and what our relationships look like. The big ones and the little ones. Paul calls on us to take responsibility for them. As much as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. To the best of your ability, live at peace with all people. What is the best of our ability? It's to wear what looks good on you. And if you're doing that, then you're doing it to the best of your ability.
All of the hours wasted, all of the moments missed.
Thanks again for listening to the message. I pray that your heart was blessed by what God had to say today. If you'd like to connect further with Cornerstone Church Airdrie, there's a couple things that you can do. You can find us on the internet at cornerstonefoursquarechurch.com and select Airdrie from the homepage. If you'd like to connect to a pastor at the church, you can do that through our website. Once you're on the Airdrie page, just click on the New Here tab in the main menu and our campus pastor from the drop-down menu. You can connect with us on social media. We're on Facebook and Instagram at Cornerstone Airdrie, or you can follow us on Twitter at CS Airdrie. You can also subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and get new content delivered directly to you. And don't forget to rate and review the podcast on iTunes, as that helps people find us easier. We're so grateful to be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with our community in Airdrie and with you today. At Cornerstone Airdrie, we're a family not by blood, but a family that's been bought by blood. And you are a part of that family. As family, we go.
All of the restless days, another disappointment, another hidden shame.